Welcome back. Today we're doing one of my favorite drum and bass sound design tricks, turning a dub delay from just an effect into an instrument you can actually play. And I mean play it the way you'd play a synth or a percussion part. You'll trigger a tiny seed sound, and the delay network becomes the voice. It creates rhythm, pitch, feel, movement, and those rolling little phrases that fill the gaps between your drums and bass at 170 plus BPM. The big mindset shift is this. Think exciter plus resonant loop. Not delay on a sound. You're not trying to hear the original hit over and over. You're feeding a loop just enough energy to speak, then shaping the loop like it's its own instrument. Alright, let's set the session so you can hear instantly if this is working in a DNB context. Set your tempo to 174 BPM. Have a basic drum group running, like a two-step or break pattern, and a bass group, sub plus mid if you've got it. Then make a new MIDI track and name it Dub Delay Instrument. The reason I want drums and bass going early is simple. Delays lie to you in solo. In context, you'll hear whether it's complementing the groove or stepping on your snare and turning your drop into soup. Now step 1. Pick a good seed sound. This is the key. A playable delay instrument needs a clean transient and just enough tone. Think short stab, rimshot, woodblock, a tiny vocal blip, or even a noise click for more metallic techie textures. We'll do the most reliable option. Simpler with a one-shot sample. Drop a short stab into simpler and set it to one shot. Turn snap on. Turn warp off. We want it punchy and honest, not stretched. Turn simpler's filter on. Set it to a 12 dB low pass. And aim somewhere around 6 to 10 kHz to shave off harshness. Then shape the amp envelope. Attack at zero. Decay around 150 to 350 milliseconds. Sustain all the way down. And a short release. Like 50 to 120 milliseconds. Here's the goal. A short ping. You want the delay to do the talking. If the seed is too long, you'll blur the groove and the delay won't have space to form its own rhythm. Quick teacher note. If your seed is too tonal and it dominates the repeats, layer a tiny click or noise tick with a super short decay, slightly louder than you think. That micro transient makes the delay articulation sharper without making the tail bright. Now step 2. Build the dub delay instrument chain. After simpler, add devices in this order. First, utility for gain staging. Set gain around minus 6 dB. This is important because feedback builds energy over time. Keep width at 100% for now. Next, echo. Echo is the core dub engine because it gives you timing, feedback, filtering, modulation, and character in one device. Turn sync on. Set time to 3/16 to start. That's a classic rolling, slightly off-grid feeling DNB time. Other good times later. 1/8, 5/16, 1/16. Set feedback around 55% to start. You'll probably end up anywhere from 45 to 70 depending on the seed and the density of your drums. Inside echo's filter section, high pass around 200 to 400 Hz to keep the low end out of the feedback loop. This is non-negotiable in DNB. Then low pass around 4 to 8 kHz for a darker dub tone. Add a little modulation, amount 5 to 15%, rate slow, around 0.10 to 0.30 Hz. That slow drift is the tape-ish dub vibe, without sounding like an obvious chorus. Optional, add a touch of noise, 1 to 5%, just to give the repeats some texture. For stereo, try ping-pong mode, then width around 110 to 140%. But keep in mind, super wide delays can feel amazing in headphones and messy in a club. We'll put width on a macro so you can rein it in during the drop. After echo, add saturator. Set it to analog clip. Drive 2 to 6 dB. Soft clip on. Then trim output so you're not clipping. This step is huge because it makes the repeats feel more like an instrument than a clean digital copy machine. The repeats thicken and glue together. Then add auto filter for performance tone control. Use a 24 dB low pass. Frequency should be something you can sweep musically, like from 500 Hz up to 12 kHz. Resonance around 0.7 to 1.2. If it starts whistling, either embrace it as a feature or back it down. Then add a compressor as a safety net. Ratio around 3:1, attack 10 to 30 milliseconds, release 80 to 150 milliseconds. Set threshold so the loudest repeats get 2 to 5 dB of gain reduction. This is not just mixing. This is part of making feedback playable without random spikes. If you want maximum safety, you can also put a limiter at the very end at about minus 0.8 dB. It's like a seatbelt. You hope you never need it, but it's nice when you get excited and push feedback too far. Now step 3. Turn this into an actual playable instrument with an instrument rack and macros. Select simpler, utility, echo, saturator, auto filter, compressor, and group them into an instrument rack. Create 8 macros. Here's a practical mapping set that makes it feel like an instrument, not a science project. Macro 1. Delay time. Map echoes time but limit the range to musical values. Think 1/16 up to 5/16. Don't give yourself a whole dial or you'll spend the session hunting instead of playing. Macro 2. Feedback. Map echo feedback from about 35% up to 85%, but I want you to calibrate this in a really specific way. Do a quick 30-second feedback calibration. Play your seed at a comfortable level, turn feedback up until it almost sustains forever, then back it off a hair. The edge is your sweet spot. Now set your macro range so the top of the macro lands just below runaway. If you want a danger option, do it intentionally. Map a separate control later as a momentary push into chaos. But don't make your normal performance range a minefield. Macro 3. Dub filter. Map auto filter frequency like 600 Hz to 10 kHz. This is your density control. Macro 4. Drive. Map saturator drive, maybe 0 to 8 dB. Macro 5. Width. Map utility width from 70% to 140%. This lets you tuck it toward mono in busy drop moments. Macro 6. Duck amount. We'll handle this with sidechain in a second. Macro 7. Mod depth. Map echo modulation amount from 0 to 20%. Great for making it feel alive without touching timing. Macro 8. Output trim. Map utility gain so you can balance quickly as you perform. Because when feedback goes up, perceived loudness goes up, and you don't want to chase faders. Teacher tip. Macro ranges are the difference between a toy and an instrument. Your future self will thank you for making every macro hard to mess up. Now step 4. Make it roll with the drums using sidechain ducking. In drum and bass, the kick and snare are sacred. Your delay instrument should breathe around them. Add a compressor at the end of the chain if needed, and enable sidechain. Set the input to your drum group, or even better, a dedicated ghost track that only plays the elements you want to trigger the ducking, usually kick and snare. Set ratio around 4:1, attack super fast, 0.5 to 3 milliseconds, release around 80 to 140 milliseconds. Lower the threshold until you get about 3 to 8 dB of ducking on the hits. Here's a subtle arrangement trick. If you use a slightly longer release, the first echo after the snare gets tupped, but the later tail comes back in the gaps. That creates call and response with the snare without masking it. Now step 5, actually play the delay like an instrument. Technique 1 is sparse triggers. Write MIDI notes between snare hits. Use short notes, like a 1/16 or even shorter, because you're exciting the loop, not sustaining a note. Try one hit just after the snare on beat 2, then another near the end of the bar. You're creating a little question and answer, and the delay is doing the phrasing for you. Technique 2 is feedback rides for structure. Over a 4 or 8 bar phrase, keep feedback around 45 to 55% for stability. Then on bar 4, ramp it up to 70 or 80% like a fill, and snap it back down on the downbeat of the next phrase. That move is pure dub, translated into DNB arrangement energy. It's the difference between random echo and this part has intention. Technique 3 is time changes for rhythmic variation. Automate delay time between a few synced values, 1/8 for obvious rhythmic repeats, 3/16 for that rolling propulsion, 1/16 for tighter machine gun textures. But be disciplined. If time jumps cause clicks or warbles, keep most of your movement in filter, drive, modulation, and width during the bar. Save time switches for phrase edges, end of bar 2, end of bar 4, right before a fill. Clean timing changes feel like composition. Messy timing changes feel like accidents. And use reset moves like a drummer. Drop feedback near 0 on bar 1 beat 1 to clear the loop. Close the filter briefly around snares to prevent mid-range smear. Pull width toward mono when the drums are busiest. Also do a quick 2 monitor check. Solo the rack in mono and turn your volume way down. If you still hear a coherent rhythmic motif, you built an instrument. If it turns into hissy mush, you've got too much top, too much stereo, or not enough intentional triggering. Now step 6, print it to audio. This is where D&B producers get serious, because the coolest delay moments are often unrepeatable. Printing turns performance chaos into arrangement-ready hooks. Two workflows. First is resampling. Create an audio track called dub print, set input to resampling, arm it, and record while you perform macros. Ride feedback, sweep filter, do one or two time switches, maybe widen toward the end of a phrase and then slam it back to tighter at the drop. Second is freeze and flatten. Freeze the instrument track and flatten it, Then chop out the best moments. Place them like fills, ear candy, or call and response tabs. For DNB arrangement ideas, drop in a printed micro fill every 4 bars. Use a printed tail to pull you into the drop. In the drop itself, keep it subtle, low feedback, darker filter, and duck to the drums. In breakdowns, open the filter and raise feedback to create space. Before we wrap, let's hit common mistakes so you don't waste an hour troubleshooting. Mistake 1. Too much low end in the feedback loop. Fix it at the source. Echo high pass at 200 to 400 Hz, sometimes higher. Keep sub completely out. Mistake 2. High feedback with no safety. Use that compressor, consider a limiter, and map feedback to a safe macro range. Mistake 3. The delay fights the snare. Solve it with sidechain ducking and by placing your triggers away from snares. Mistake 4. Overly wide stereo in the drop. Automate width down to around 70 to 100% when it's heavy. Mistake 5. Time changes click or smear. Do time switches at bar edges, keep mod low, and print to audio when it's perfect. Now a quick 15-minute practice plan you can do right after this lesson. Load your seed into Simpler and build the rack. Make a two-step drum loop at 174 BPM. Kick on 1. Snare on 2 and 4. Make a MIDI clip for the delay instrument. Place 1/16 note just after the snare on beat 2, and another near the end of the bar. Then automate over 8 bars. Bars 1 to 4. Feedback around 45 to 55 and filter relatively closed. On bar 4, ramp feedback up to around 75 and do a slight time change. On the downbeat of bar 5, drop feedback hard to around 40 and make the filter darker. Then resample your performance and chop the best 1 or 2 bar moment. Your deliverable is a printed audio clip that works as a repeatable 4 bar ear candy fill in a rolling DNB drop. If you want to push it further after you nail the basics, try these variations. 1. A parallel clean attack and dirty tail rack. Keep the dry hit punchy on one chain, and put a 100% wet echo plus saturation and filtering on the other chain, then blend the tail with a macro. That gives you aggression without wrecking transients. 2. A dual delay network. Run two echo devices in parallel, one at 3/16 darker, one at 1/8 or 5/16 brighter, and crossfade between them. You'll get polyrhythmic call and response without adding more MIDI notes. 3. Pitch movement without changing delay time. This audio version is shortened for playback.